Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
So when I was a kid, field day was a really big deal. Or at least I thought it was a big deal as a third grader. I know the students always laugh when I tell stories about when I was a kid. It's like, back in my day. But no, back when I was a kid, man, I really think field day was a bigger deal than it is now. Because when I was a kid, kids could lose things. Like, we were allowed to lose. Like, when I played Little League, we either won or we lost. Now it's just, everybody did a great job. Everybody didn't do a great job. That's not true. That is not true at all. That kid in the outfield picking dandelions did not do a good job. We are doing them a disservice telling them they did a good job. That's a whole another issue for another day that I'll talk about at length because I'm very passionate about it. But no, when I was a kid, man, like field day, at least as far as I can recall, it was legit. Right? Like it was class versus class in your grade. And I can remember in all my classes growing up, we would actually have like the Olympic trials. We would have prelims, right, in your own class. And everybody would go and you'd see who's the best. You know, who's the fastest, who can jump the farthest, who can throw the most eggs. You know, and we would test it out. We'd see who the best was. And I know it's crazy. The best person got to compete against everybody else. And if you weren't the best at it, you did the sack race. Like, it was just the way it worked, you know? And so, again, I'm so sorry. But that's what we did. And so, I can remember, man, it was legit. Like, it was a big deal. I can remember my parents coming and cheering. When my kids have field day, I'm like, all right, Danny, are we going to field day? She's like, nobody goes to field day. I'm like, why don't you go to field day? Field day's the bomb. But anyway, when I was a kid, field day was legit, right? And when I was in the third grade, I got chosen for my class to compete in the ultimate field day event. Of course, I'm talking about the three-legged race. Like, that is the pinnacle of field day, right? And so me and my buddy Jeffrey, we got picked to participate in field day. And Jeffrey and I, as third graders, we're in Miss Love's third grade class. So excited about it. We had the foolproof plan to win the three-legged race. Like, we had this genius plan that we just thought was the smartest thing anybody had ever come up with in our lives. We were going to, are you ready for this? We were going to count as we ran. We were going to say, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. We were going to count out loud, and that was going to allow us to run in sync, and we were going to win. As third graders, this was genius. I can tell from your response, you don't find it as smart as we did. And so, anyway, we are so excited. We get ready. The person says, go, and we take off, and we're counting. One, two, one, two. And, man, we're running. I'm like, yes, this is great. This is going to work. And the next thing I know, I see some people kind of run in front of us. I didn't like that. Part of the story you need to know, I hate to lose. Like, I hate it. I hate losing more than I like winning is how much I hate losing. And I have passed that on to my children. They hate losing. When they play sports that you're not supposed to keep score in, they still keep score because dad keeps score. And after the game, if they lost, you know, like, they'll cry when they lose. And my wife will be like, no, don't cry. And I'm like, no, they should cry. They lost. It's okay. Like, I want them to cry because they lost. Because if you accept losing, you're going to be a loser. And so don't do that. Cry, but don't just cry. Cry and work harder and get better because that's how you stop losing. And so, anyway, once again, if you want me to coach your kids, just call. I'll be great at it. We will be winning. I mean, Ricky Bobby, man, if you ain't first, you're last. Right? That's built my whole life on that. So these people start to pull out in front of us, and I'm looking at Jeffrey, and I'm like, we got to count faster. And so I start going, one, two, one, two, one, two, and start running and running. Now, another thing I didn't tell you about my buddy Jeffrey is I have been this tall since kindergarten. I was a very tall third grader. Jeffrey was not very tall. He probably came up to about here, kind of like my wife does now, about right here on me, right? And so we're trying to do this three-legged race. He's down here, and I'm up here. We're just counting, and I'm starting to leave him behind. And the race was down to a cone and back. I promise I'm not making this up. We get down to the cone. I pick Jeffrey up. I turn the cone, and then we start running again. You know, and I'm like, one, two, one, two, one, two. And like every one stride I take is like four of Jeffrey's stride. You know, it's like my wife trying to keep up with me in the mall. I'm just walking casually, and she's running. She said, you got to slow down. So anyway, we lose. And I'm still talking about it to this day. I was very scarred by it. But we lost because we ignored a fundamental principle of the three-legged race. And the fundamental principle is that size is as important as how fast you are. You have to be equal if you're going to succeed in the three-legged race. You would be shocked to know this, but there is actually a world record holder in the three-legged race. It's two men. Their names are Mark Howlett and Rob Lee. What do you notice about these two men, other than the fact they're wearing kilts? We're just going to move on from the kilt. Don't think about it. Don't picture it. Sure don't picture what's underneath. Just move on. What do you see about Mark Howlett and Rob Lee? What do you notice? They are exactly the same size. Because what they understood, if you want success in a three-legged race, you have to be matched. Jeffrey and I were mismatched. And we could not have the success we wanted. Obviously, I tell you that story because I believe many of us in our lives are trying to achieve great things. We're trying to achieve success in our life. And we are mismatched. We're running with the wrong they. And that's the entire point of this series. We started it last week, talking about they. Who are the they in your life? And the reason that they matter is, as we said last week, it's because they influence the direction and quality of our lives. Our friends, our closest associates, are going to affect the direction and quality of our lives. Why? Because the thing that makes friendship so great is the thing that makes friendship so dangerous. It's like I said last week. It's because we let down our guard around those we're closest to because they accept us. And acceptance always leads to influence in our life. And so last week we began looking at they. And we looked at God's word and we saw that God had some ideas about who should be the right they in our lives. Who should have influence on us. And what we learned last week, a very fundamental principle about looking for the right they. We learned that the right they have he right in the middle. Which means the right they build their lives on Jesus. Jesus is their foundation. And so last week, I left you there, and I gave you some questions that I wanted you to take home, I wanted you to think about, and I wanted you to do what we call a friend inventory and begin to examine the they in your life. I gave you five questions, and I know some of you took them home, and you did that, and some of you took it very seriously. Others took it not as seriously. I'm told that I caused some fights with the friend inventory, and I apologize about that. That was not my intent. I am not held responsible for what you people do with what I tell you after you leave this building. But what I hope happens is if you really took it home and you looked at it, you start thinking about it, you start praying about it, what you probably noticed is a couple of things. You probably noticed that there was a lot less right they in your life than you thought. But what you also noticed is some of the people that you are beginning to label the wrong they, you really liked. You're really good friends with them. Some of you are married to them. And you're like, what do I do? And there was a tension that began to live in you. Like, man, I don't really know what to do next. And I want you to know, if you felt that tension this week, I believe you were exactly where God wanted you to be. He wanted you to wrestle. He wanted you to try to figure out, okay, what does this actually feel like? How does this work, right? Because this stuff's not going to just change overnight. And if you're here this week and you wrestled this week, man, I'm thrilled that you're here. Because as I said last week, the series builds on each other. And we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. And guess what? There's going to be some tension at the end of today as well. And then next week, as we conclude our series, we're going to try as hard as we can to wrap it all up and let you leave here tension-free-ish. Ish. Not completely, because this is something you're going to wrestle with for the rest of your lives. Monitoring, who has influence over me? And am I accepting the right voices, and how do I handle that? So this is something that we're going to talk about, not just this week, but for a long time. So what I want to do today is I kind of want to answer a question that you probably struggle with as well. And it was like, okay, who is they in my life? Like, who are the people that really speak in? Who are the people that influence and direct? Because that's what we said last week, right? We said that they influence the direction and quality of our lives. So what that means is, if we're going to talk about they, it's the people in your life that have influence on your life. So listen to me. Most people you know are not they. Because you ignore most people. You just do. You kind of do the thing where you nod and smile and say, okay, I'm not going to do this, but okay. Thank you so much for your help. That's how you always know nobody's going to listen to you. Well, thank you for your time. Yeah, they're not going to listen to you at all. But see, most people in your life aren't they. We're talking about the people that you go to when you have questions. They are the people that you're going to attend an event because they're going to be there. If they aren't going, you're coming up with an excuse to get out and not have to go yourself. They are the people that you want their input. Should I take this job? Should I date this person? Should I break up with this person? What should we do? These are the people that you go to when you have questions about your life. These are the people that if you're at a store, right, and you go to the dressing room, you take a picture of your outfit, and you text it to them. Say, does this look good? None of y'all do that? Oh, I don't either. Never done that. I don't. But see, the they in your life, these are the people that have influence. We're not talking about your Facebook friends. We're not talking about your neighbors. We're not talking about your coworkers. We're talking about close relationships. We're talking about relationships where they literally help direct your life. And I know sometimes it's hard to figure out because people weave in and out, right? Sometimes people have more influence. Sometimes they have less influence. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a picture given to us by this guy named Paul. Because Paul paints this amazing picture and really clarifies for us what it means for someone to be a they in our life. And he really gives us a really good kind of a test. And if the person passes this test and they are doing what Paul talks about, then we have to decide, okay, are they the right they? Are they the wrong they? And if a person doesn't even apply this test, like, you don't have to worry about them, right? They're just an acquaintance in your life. They're just a friend in your life. But they're not controlling and having an influence on the quality and direction of your life. So we're going to look at this guy named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament, right? The New Testament is the second half of our Bible. It tells the story of Jesus. It tells the story of Jesus' birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Then it tells the story of the spread of the early church. And Paul was a guy who became a Christ follower. He was in his probably mid-30s, and he became a Christ follower after an encounter with Jesus. And then Paul went on to become a pastor and a church leader. And he would actually go around and he would start churches, and he would go to new areas, and he would preach about Jesus, and then he would help form churches, and he would go somewhere else. And then Paul would write those churches letters to give them instructions after he was gone. And what we as Christians believe is that God himself was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters, which means almost 2,000 years later, we can read these letters and we can know exactly what it is God wants us to do in our life. And in one of his letters to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the issue we're struggling with today. He talks about how to identify the they in your life. And how to identify if they're the right they or if they're the wrong they. And then next week, we're going to talk about what to do when we find out there's some wrong they in our life. And I'm going to go ahead and spoiler alert. The answer is not abandon them. So everybody can take a big sigh of relief, okay? Because our leader, Jesus, never cut anybody out of his life, ever. So please hear me. I'm never going to tell you to cut somebody out of your life. That's not the point. But there are going to be some areas you have to be wise. And you have to be careful. That's what we're going to talk about. But what we're going to do first is we're going to figure out who are we even talking about? Who are these people? Who are the they in our life? Who are the people that actually have influence on us, and how do we need to be careful? So if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be. Check it, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. And in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this is how Paul describes this. This is the advice he gives us. He says, don't team up. Don't partner with those who are unbelievers. Now, Paul is speaking directly to Christians. He's speaking to Christ followers. If you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, I still believe you can apply this truth. But he's talking specifically to Christians. And what he's saying, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Another way of saying that is he's saying, don't be mismatched. In other words, if you're a believer and they're a non-believer, there are certain relationships you shouldn't have with them. The actual Greek there, what it's really talking about is it's a farming term. And it says, don't be unequally yoked. And you're all nodding along because you're all farmers and you know what that means. But no, what a yoke was, we actually have a picture of it. What a yoke was the yoke is this piece of wood right here. It's this wooden equipment, and they would attach two farm animals to the yoke, and then they would attach a plow behind it, and the animal would pull through the yoke. They'd pull the plow, and they would plow the rows for the field. And what the farmers knew was that you couldn't be unequally yoked. Like, you couldn't put two different animals in the yoke. You couldn't even put a big animal and a small animal in the yoke, because if they weren't equal, the rows wouldn't be straight. Because if you had one strong animal and one weak animal, the strong animal is going to pull harder, and he's going to pull off to the side, and you're not going to have straight rows. And farmers, man, they wanted straight rows. It was a big source of pride to have very straight rows. And so what Paul is basically saying, he's saying, hey, look, if you're a Christian, if you have built your life on Jesus, if he is a foundation of your faith, what I'm going to encourage you to do is not bind your life together with someone who's going to be actively trying to pull you off the path God wants for your life, right? But he's saying, don't bind. He's not saying don't be friends. He's not saying don't be acquaintances. He's saying don't be yoked together. And the yoking was a much more serious thing. And the way I know that is because Paul then asks a series of questions that makes it very clear he's talking about very specific, very intimate relationships in our life. Here's what he says. Let's keep going. He says, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? See, he's drawing a parallel, saying, how can you partner with them? But now you have to read this in light of everything we see in the Bible. As it is said, Jesus himself never cut anyone out of his life, right? And he is our model. He is our example. So clearly when Paul's saying righteousness can't be a partner with wickedness, he's talking about an intimate relationship. And he continues. He's not done. He says, how can light live with darkness? Again, we're talking about very serious relationships. And then he says, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What he's saying is, look, if Jesus is your foundation, there are certain relationships in your life. There are certain intimate, life-altering relationships that are so deep, and that person is going to have so much influence and control over you, it is unwise to bind yourself to someone that doesn't have the same foundation you do. He's saying, don't be unequally yoked in those situations. And again, he's talking about very serious, very deep relationships. For example, he's talking about best friends, right? Your bestie, your best friend. You know? Now, here's why it's so important. Your best friend is who you call when you're having problems with your husband. And your best friend is going to give you marital advice. They do. Come on, don't. And what Paul is saying is, hey, look. You're talking about a sacred union between you and your spouse. And if you're going to go get life-altering advice from someone, you should really make sure that they're going to give you Jesus-affirming advice. Because again, if you're yoked together, they're going to pull you. They're going to pull you one direction or the other. So, your best friend, are they going to push you towards Jesus, or are they going to pull you away from Jesus? Your best friend is who you go to with moral questions. It's who you go to for those issues. And what Paul is saying is, hey, that is a relationship that you need to be really careful. I'm not saying you cut them out of your life. I'm not saying you stop loving them. But you got to be really careful how much influence you give them. Because if they don't have the same foundation you do, you are unequally yoked, and they could very likely be pulling you off the path God has for your life. But we're not just talking about best friends. Best friends, I've upset some of you. Now let me try to upset more of you. We're also talking about business partners. Now, I'll be clear. I'm not talking about only using Christian businesses. When my toilet is clogged, I don't call a Christian plumber. I call the best plumber. I hope he's a Christian. I really don't care. I just want my toilet fixed. I do not go through the yellow pages, do those even exist, and look for like the little Jesus fish in the corner of the ad. That matters none to me at all, right? I want the best. But what Paul's talking about is he's saying, hey, look, if you're considering going into business with someone, you are partnering up with them. You are teaming up with them. You are yoking up with them. And it makes sense that you partner with people that have the same foundation you do. And you're like, yeah, but they have such a good idea. And they have so much money. They do. But here's what you have to remember. You're partnering with them. You're teaming with them. Which means you're partnering your reputation to their reputation. You're partnering your ethical code with their ethical code. You're partnering your moral standard with their moral standard. And what Paul would say is, hey, look, I'm just telling you. If you partner up, if you yoke up with somebody who doesn't believe what you believe, it is very likely that they are going to pull you off the path God has for your life. Or they're going to exhaust you in the process as you're constantly trying to pull back. Paul's just saying, just don't do it. Just find somebody who believes what you believe and partner up with them instead. And trust God with the results. So we talked about best friends, made some of you mad. Talked about business partners, made more of you mad. And now I'm going to make a lot more mad. Especially singles and students. So get ready. Because Paul is not only talking about best friends, he's not only talking about business partners, he's also talking about significant others. Let me go ahead and make this perfectly clear. Students, singles, if you are a Christ follower, do not date people who are not Christ followers. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's what Paul's saying. And you're like, why? It's not that serious, but it could be. It's not like I'm going to marry him. Well, then don't date him. Why would you date somebody you have no intention of marrying? That's just rude. It's just rude. Leading them on. Because see, here's what Paul say, and students especially, man, please listen to me. In the next few years, as you're dating, and singles, you know this too, you are going to make some of the most personal, some of the most physical decisions you're going to make in your life. And those decisions could possibly have lasting repercussions. And if you are going to ignore what Paul says, and you're going to run in to be unequally yoked, and you're going to partner up with someone who doesn't have the same foundation you do, you are making life-altering, life-changing decisions with someone who doesn't believe what you believe and doesn't even care what you believe. They think what you believe is a myth. They don't get it. Now again, I'm not saying don't be nice to these people. I'm not saying don't love these people. I'm not saying don't serve these people. I'm just saying don't date them. Don't team up. Don't partner up. That's what Paul is trying to say. He's saying, look, you've got to be wise about this. You've got to be smart. We're called to love everybody, but we're not called to let everybody have influence on our life. Next week, we're going to pick up right here, and we're going to look at how Jesus did this. Jesus loved everyone, but he did not allow everyone to control his life. Everyone did not get to speak into his life. And I'm telling you right now, you can't date somebody without giving them the ability to speak into your life. That's what Paul's trying to say. He's saying, hey, be careful. In these relationships, in these serious relationships, where there are going to be life-altering consequences, when you're going to your best friend for marital advice, when you're partnering up with someone in a business, when you're dating someone and you're entering into the emotions and intimacy and the physicalness that comes from that, he's saying, hey, look, make sure you share the same foundation. Make sure you're on the same page. That's his whole point. Think of it like this. Think about if you and your spouse decide that you're going to go out and buy a couple acres and you're going to build your dream house, right? And you have one idea of a dream house. You know, your idea of a dream house is very traditional, and your spouse's idea for a dream house is very contemporary, right? And you fight, and you can't decide which house you want to build. So you guys get a great idea. You're going to hire two builders. You're going to hire two crews. You're going to give one builder one set of plans. You're going to give the other builder the other set of plans, and you're going to say, just go. Hope it works out. Would any of you do this? Would anybody think, that's a great idea. Let's see what happens. But that's exactly what we do when we are unequally yoked. That's exactly what we do when we partner up with people that don't have the same foundation we do. We're just hoping it works out when we're working off two completely different sets of plans. And that's all Paul's trying to say. He's just trying to say, hey, I'm telling you right now, if this is you, this is something that you're thinking about doing, I'm just begging you, think this through. Think about it. Think what you're doing. Be careful that you are not getting yourself yoked up with people that don't have the same foundation you do. Now, I know some of you are wondering. You're starting to think about relationships in your life. You're starting to wonder, and you're starting to ask yourself, well, I mean, I don't know that I would say we're yoked. I mean, we've talked a couple of times, but, I mean, we're not yoking together. Like, I don't know. You know? And so, I like that. And so I want to just ask you a series of questions. All right? And this is universal. Everybody, I want to ask you a series of questions that I think will help us kind of clarify who this is in our life and kind of helps us clarify what we should do, right? First question, how do I know if we're yoked? This is a question you should be asking about the different relationships in your life. Man, how do I know if we're yoked? How do I know if I've partnered with them, if I've teamed up with them, if I've given them the ability to control my life? Or it's very simple. How do I know if we're yoked? Do they influence the direction and quality of your life? Do they? Do you take their advice? Do you find yourself doing things you wouldn't have done if they hadn't been around? Now, this could be good or bad. This could be people in your life who you're like, yeah, man, they always help me make the best decisions. Good. You're yoked to them. Stay yoked. But what you have to ask is, okay, how do I know if we're yoked? It's because they influence the direction and quality of your life. So that's how you know if they're yoked. If they have influence, if they have the ability to control your life. If you take their advice, if you are different because of them, if you go places because of them, if you think things because of them, if you wear things because of them, if you make moral decisions because of them, if they have that amount of influence on you, yes, you are yoked to them. So the next question is, how do I know if we're unequally yoked? Because I know what you're thinking. Well, Trey, who am I to judge them? Jesus said, don't judge. That's what he said. I can't judge them. You're right. No, you shouldn't judge them. They say they're Christ followers. You can't judge their heart. But there is one thing you can do that 100% certainty will show if you are unequally yoked. And it's very simple. Look at the path you're leaving. Take feeling out of it. Take emotion out of it. Take thought out of it. Take want out of it. Simply turn around and observe the path you're leaving behind. If it is straight, if it points towards Jesus, you're on the right path, and you're equally yoked. If it's not, you are unequally yoked. I notice it got real quiet. Not a lot of amens after that one. Because it's no fun, right? It's hard work. We have to think about this. But I'm telling you, it's what Paul's trying to say. He's saying, look, if you partner up with somebody who doesn't have Jesus as their foundation, they are going to pull you off the path. So you have to turn around and look. You have to look at the path you're leaving. And then you have to make a decision. Just a side note, if you have any right they in your life, a lot of times they'll notice you veering off the path before you do. Students, mom and dad are usually right. Sorry. I know it's a bummer, but they're usually right. Here's the crazy thing. My parents get way smarter the older I get. When I was 15 and 16, they were dumb. Like, they got, like, super smart juice or something, because when I hit my 20s, I got smarter, and my 30s are even, like, they're geniuses now, you know? And my kids think I'm dumb. It's crazy. But no, the right day can see it happening before you do. They're the ones that come to, hey, I don't know. I don't know if you should be hanging out with that person. Oh, Mom, come on. Baby, I don't think you should date that person. Come on, Mom, but he's so drippy. You're going to make me a nerd. Ah, you guys are the worst. That is how you sound, students. That is exactly how you sound. Because I sounded that way, too. So, how do you know if you're unequally yoked? You look at the path you're leaving behind. And if the path is not something you're proud of, if it's not going towards God, you are unequally yoked. And that's why Paul says, hey, you gotta be equals. You've gotta be matched. You are mismatched right now. And you gotta change that. You gotta get matched up. Now, I know some of you are thinking, you're like, so you're saying equal. Like I've got to find somebody who's been a Christian as long as I have, with the same baggage as I have, the same marital situation that I have, the same number of kids, the same family background. No, not at all. See, Jesus is the key. And I'm going to make you do some math right now, and it's going to hurt your brain, but it's okay. It's a good thing to remember. Remember when we were in school, right? And we had to learn about fractions. You guys remember fractions? Don't tell the students, but the thing you learned in school and never used again, like calculus. Remember that? We learned about fractions, right? And remember when you had to add fractions? Like, for example, let's say you wanted to add 2/4 and 3/8. Again, the math will be over soon, but just don't let it hurt yourself. But I'm going to tell you the answer. Don't try to do the answer. But remember, when you had to add the fractions, right, you had to have 2/4 and 3/8, right? You can't add those fractions. What did you have to have? What did you have to find to be able to add those fractions? Remember, it was called the common? Look at you. Yes. That's way better than first hour. Man, you guys are on it. You had to have a common denominator. Because once you had, you see where I'm going? The same foundation. You could combine the two together. So once you converted 2/4 to 4/8, then you could add, and it was 7/8. There's no spiritual significance to the numbers. But the point is this: Jesus is the common denominator. And when Jesus is our foundation, hear me, when Jesus is the foundation, any they can become the right they. As long as you have the same foundation, because then you will be matched. Then you can partner properly. Then you can put into practice the lesson we all learned as kids trying to do the three-legged race. If you are mismatched, it's not going to work. Many of you are running through life mismatched, and you have no idea why it's not working, and today you're figuring it out. Now, some of you, there are things you can do about your mismatch. Others of you, you can't. Some of you right now are saying, I'm married to someone, and it's a mismatch. What do I do? Guess what? I'm going to tell you the answer next week. But, let me go ahead and give you a little hint. Jesus has a plan to use you to change them. Okay? It's not abandonment. It's not walking away. It's so much better than that. But will it be more difficult? Yes. If you are already in business and you're already tied to that person, can God continue to move through it? Absolutely. Is it going to be more difficult? Yes. 100%. Which is why Paul says it is best to not partner with people that don't believe the same things you believe. Paul would say it this way. You ready for this? He'd say the yoke is no joke. Yeah! Woo! The yoke is no joke. You know why? You know why? Because when you're tied to that person, they are going to control the quality and direction of your life. And it is going to become practically impossible for you to stay on the straight path, for you to follow the plan God has for your life. The farmers knew this, which is why they made them equal. Do you know why the farmer wanted straight rows? It wasn't to show off. It wasn't to brag to his neighbor. The reason the farmer wanted perfectly straight rows was because right after the crops were planted and they began to grow, it was virtually impossible by looking to distinguish the plant from the weeds, to distinguish the good from the thing that was going to destroy the good. They look the same. They are both small and green. And so what the farmer would do is, because he had straight rows, because he could see exactly where they were supposed to be planted, he could stand at one end of his field, and he could walk down the row. And he would look down the row. And everything that was in that straight line, he knew was supposed to be there. Everything that was in that straight line, he knew was planned and had a purpose. And anything that wasn't in the straight line, anything that was outside of it, he knew that's got to be removed. I got to get that out, because that's going to hurt the fruit that is planned for my field. And see, that's why it's so important for you to have the straight rows in your life, for you to have the right day, because then you can look back and you can say, okay, yeah, that's some jealousy right there. That's some envy. I got to get rid of that. That's going to stop where God wants me to go. Ooh, that's some disappointment. That's going to turn into anger. Man, I got to deal with that. Man, God, you got to help me figure this out. It becomes so much easier to see what God wants you to do when those rows are straight. And the only way you can have those straight rows is to be equally, is to be matched up properly the way God wants you to. Because what God knows, what Paul's trying to teach us, is this: our partner determines our path. They just do. The people we partner up with, that we yoke up with, that we team up with, they are going to determine our path. So what Paul's saying is he's saying, hey, be wise about it. Be smart about it. Make sure you're partnering up with people that are the same foundation you do. And there's one question I want you to wrestle with this week and then come back next week as we wrap this up. Because I know you're still confused and you're not sure who would be the right day, who would be the wrong day, who needs to have more influence in your life, who needs to have less influence in your life. So there's a question I want you to wrestle with, okay? And you're the only person who can answer this. You can choose to answer it honestly and be open and allow the God of the universe to begin to give you wisdom. Or you can ignore it. You can answer it dishonestly and your life will continue down exactly what path it's on right now. And here's the question. Do you love the path you're leaving? As you look back, do you love the path you're leaving behind? Do you love the choices you've made? Do you love what's behind you? Because if you do, change nothing. If you don't, well, I have a different suggestion. Take Paul at his word. This week, spend some time performing a connection inspection. Like that? Look at the people you're partnered up with. Look at the people you're teamed up with. Look at the people who you think might could be pulling you off the path. And then I challenge you to come back next week. Because what we're going to find out next week is what God wants us to do in those people's lives is he wants us to become the right they for them. He wants to use us to change them. Now, for others of you, you just need to find some right they. And shamelessly, I will tell you, the best place to find the right they is right here. Right here, I'm telling you. Met my wife at church. Met my best friends at church. This is the place. You know why? Because you got a common denominator. So much is already decided. Students, I'm going to tell you right now, my prayer for you over the next few years, your best friends come from right here. We teach our boys that. We teach them. So, you know, we're going to love everybody. We're going to be nice to everybody. We're going to have fun with everybody. We're going to be friends with everybody. But your best friends, your lifelong friends, the ones you're going to count on, we want you to find at church. If you're single and you came here just to meet somebody, good job. I've never understood why we should be against that. Here or Broadway? I mean, it's kind of the same. Like, we have lights. We have music. Now we don't go. Well, we had a DJ last week. There was probably some going on, right? This is the place. I'm all for it. Because in life, you're going to partner up. You're going to team up. It's going to happen. God's plan is that you partner up with the right they so that you can move together in unison towards what God has for your life. So this week, do your connection inspection. Cling to those that are the right they. And for those that are the wrong they, begin right now. Begin praying that God can use you to be the right they in their life. Come back next week, and I'll tell you exactly how to do it. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you that your word is so clear. We thank you that you are so loving and kind and patient with us. We thank you that you have a plan for every aspect of our lives, even our relationships. God, I just pray right now, we surrender to you. We open ourselves up to you. We hear your truth. We cast away all the voices telling us to ignore this, telling us it's not a big deal, Father. May your truth transform our hearts. And may our obedience transform our lives as we pursue you and pursue your best for us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.